That's what happens when you give somebody too many hats. He's working on both ends this evening. We're going to sing a song that I know will be a blessing to you. You pray for the choir and Brother Randy as we sing, "I'm Amazed." No one knew how alone I was feeling, and the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without you, see, I was covering up those secret tears that I cried. But then one day someone told me of your mercy and the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. There you died to purchase my redemption when you broke sin's power and set my is true. There have been days when I failed you, and Lord, you know that there's been times that I've gone astray, but I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness, and your ear is open every time I pray. No ever cared for me like you, Lord. You see other friends, they've never been as close to me. You see, I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow. I, knowing you are everything I'll ever. Oh.
Sometimes in this life, you might get discouraged. You wonder if you're all alone. You're just barely hanging on. Just stop and remember all the things He's done for you. Just look up to Jesus, and He will pull you through. So I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for the world to know. To know.
You said you never leave us or forsake us, and it's true. You're my today and my tomorrow. I'm not living without you.
So I'll give you every breath. Lord, use me as you will. You made a way when there was no way. I can help but worship you.
So I will
lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for the world to know.
Sunshine in the rain. I'm surrounded by your love, Lord. You're my healer through the pain.
You're my savior, you're my anchor. You're my refuge through the storm. I can't help but speak your name, Lord. We're gonna praise forevermore.
So I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low,
I will lift my praise. One who goes before me, lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for the world.
To the Lord Jesus Christ. This is, again, Calvary Jubilee 2024, and this week is a week of freedom, a week of release. And so my prayer is, us as believers, if there's anything that needs to be released, if we need to be freed from anything, my prayer is this week that that will be accomplished. But also on the same token, if there's anybody that's here that's not saved, that's not assured, that when you die, heaven will be your home, well, that's my prayer as well, that you'll get gloriously born again in this meeting. Also want to thank those that are watching by way of Facebook, and even those who are listening to our live audio stream on our webpage. We just appreciate all of those that are listening from home and on the radio, or at least our webpage. And again, thank you for being here tonight. I know we've got several visiting with us, and we just so appreciate you being with us in the meeting. And we had a great Jubilee kickoff yesterday, and had Brother Snyder Turner preaching yesterday morning, and Sammy Burgess preached last night. And of course, we had Second Coming Gospel Group singing for us, so we had a day full. We had just a great time in both services. And today, my prayer is, or my prayer has been for today, for tonight, that the Lord will move in the very same way, just a great, mighty, powerful way. I do want to say tonight it's so good to have Brother Carl Partain and his family with us. Would you give him a round of applause, his family? And if they want to make their way up at this time out of Fort Payne, Alabama, Brother Carl, you tell me what church you pastor, brother. It's Pine something. Pine Ridge, okay. And who in here has heard Brother Carl and his family sing before? Would you raise your hand? Okay. All right. Some have, some haven't. Well, those who haven't, you're in for a treat tonight. And so just let the Lord have his way. And we appreciate you, brother. Bless you, sir. Thank you. Good to see you, brother.
We go. What a wonderful privilege to be here tonight. This church brings back memories. As a little boy, I used to canvass that Dairy Queen over there quite often. My dad pastored White Oak Springs Baptist Church for many years, and I was a teenager here in this area. And now I'm bringing my babies back to the same place. And thank you for the privilege being able to come and share the Lord Jesus Christ with you through song and through gospel message. I'm telling you, Randy, is it Randy? You are as smooth as butter, brother. Who's the piano player? David. David somebody. That guy's smooth. I appreciate that. Randy was the one that sang, correct? Wonderful. Choir done well, the great specials that we heard. I mean, these guys are talented. You can tell they didn't just show up last night. I appreciate that. It's hard to find good music, good sound that's not trying to conquer. And y'all are just smooth, and it just made worship pleasant. And I appreciate that. That's really from my heart. Brought my oldest son with me. We have several children, but due to jobs and things like that, and not able to come. But I did bring my favorite daughter-in-law. She's my only daughter-in-law. And my oldest son, my wife come with me, and some of my other children and grandbabies and friends here tonight. We're just going to worship the Lord with you just a little while and see if we can encourage you along the way. There'll be hilltops that I'll have to climb, and wide rivers that I'll have to cross. There'll be trials that I'll never understand, but I am sure they'll always Just be faithful until the Lord comes. Stay strong, church. There's been times, this is true, that we walked alone. There's been times that I know we've cried. We'd lay there and wonder if we'd ever smile again. Oh, but I refuse to ever turn around. No, I ain't gonna lay this armor down. Not until he comes. We picked up this little song. It says, "He sees what we don't see." I love this little song. See if it helps you this time. many's heard the name Kyla Rowland? Anybody? One of the greatest songwriters, I believe, of our day. And Kyla's in heaven now. She wrote this little song many, many years ago. My family picked it up several years ago. She said she was in her little place where her mother lived, and I've been there. Kyla lived in the front of the house, and her mom lived in the back of the house, Eulala. And they said they were both sitting there watching the news, and she said everything was negative, which normally it is. Said a baby had been murdered. A judge had let somebody go. And she said it just kept mounding up and mounding up. Me and Mama were sitting there listening to this bad news. Earthquake had happened and killed a bunch of people. And this had happened across seas. And she said it just got worse and worse. And finally, she got tired of watching it and shut it off. And they just sat there in silence. And finally, Kyla's mother said these words. She said, "Kyla Faye, let me tell you something, honey. Heaven's going to fix it all." And you better believe that's true. All the problems we're facing on this earth, that's one hope we have. Heaven's going to close the book on this thing. And it's going to fix all of our problems. It's not going to be those in the White House that'll fix our problems. It'll be Jesus that fixes our problems. We've been singing this song for quite some time. I want you to hear it. Heaven will fix it all.
Away.
I sing one by myself. Do you know? Now, I got a backup plan if you don't know it. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No, come up here. We'll find it. Y'all all right tonight? I'm just an old country boy from Alabama. Y'all just have to deal with me. Don't have a lot of finesse about me. And not very good at that, but I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And I tell you, I didn't drive 2.5 hours just to go through the motions. Just to sing a few songs and give a message and outline and go to the house. I'm like you. I come in here on a Monday night needing some help. And I'm wanting to find it. And you can find help. If you're really in your heart searching for it. I love this little song. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I will tell you how he changed this life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. Now every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I will never know just why he came to save me till one day I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else can take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me.
I wonder tonight if someone has a word of testimony they want to give of their salvation experience. Anybody tonight? I'll just say that the Lord saved me November 19th, 2002, in Smyrna, Georgia. not far from here, a little hole-in-the-wall gym called Iron House Fitness. And I tried every high you could try, every drug you could try, alcohol. I tried it all. High school dropout, loved to fight, loved to do all those things. But then my brother got saved one day on November 19th, 2000. And he began to share Jesus with me. And I was at that particular place in my life where I had friends who died, friends who were in jail. And it came down to me. And the Lord, I know now, was asking me and dealing with me, what are you going to do with your life? And so on November 19th, 2002, I was out of all places, this gym. And my brother walked in and I said, Chris, I said, you know, if my life never changes, I want to know that whenever I die, heaven will be my home. He said, well, you got to get saved, Justin. You got to get saved. And he says, if you were to leave here tonight and go out and get hit by a truck or automobile, you'll die. He said, you'll go to hell. And it was at that moment I knew, if anything else, if my life never changed, I wanted to know when I die, heaven to be my home. We went into the office. There was rock and roll music, Brother Carl playing, and everybody swinging weights everywhere. But we went into the office there. He opened up the Bible and shared the Romans Road with me. And I can almost remember every word that I said going on 22 years ago. He said, Justin, you got to believe that Jesus died for you and that he was buried and he rose again on the third day. He said, do you believe that? I said, I believe that. He said, well, you got to ask him to come into your heart and be the Lord of your life, forgive you of your sin. He said, you want to pray after me or do you want to pray? I said, I want to pray. And I said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for me, and Lord, I know that you rose from the grave for me. I said, Lord, I've tried everything in this world to bring peace, and I'm nothing bettered. Would you please come to my heart right now? Save me. Take me to heaven when I die. And can I say, at that moment, I got born again. Amen. Me and my brother hugged for the first time that night. I think I got a little picture when we were little boys when we hugged. But that night, from a number of years in between, was the first night that we hugged. And I want to tell you, I haven't been back to that old life since, going on 22 years. And I asked if somebody wanted to give a testimony, and I gave the testimony. But maybe there's someone else here tonight. We're on God's schedule tonight. Glad God saves those sinners tonight. Amen. I'm not a perfect man, but I tell you what, I'm not what I used to be. And praise the Lord, I'm not what I'm going to be one day. Anybody else? Go ahead, Brother Ceylon.
Hey, Justin, I can beat you by a long shot.
Sure you
can. I got saved in 1956. That's a long time ago. You know what? Some people say they get saved and they get over it.
No.
I never got over it.
Amen. Amen.
I never got over it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know, a lot of times we pray and we thank him for what he does for us.
Right.
And there's no problem with that. I understand. We need to do that. But what about praising just for who he is?
Yes, sir.
That he is holy God.
Amen.
And he loves us.
Yes. Amen.
That amazes me. I don't know if that bothers you or not.
Yes, sir.
Me.
Yes.
The thing, God himself loves me.
Amen.
I can't get over that. I hope I'm never going to.
That's right, brother. Amen.
I just pray to you. Thank you.
Amen. Brother Harold? Sir.
But however, I still this day don't feel like I deserve it.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Harold. Brother Carl, you ready, brother? All right. Come on up. Let's give Brother Carl Partain a round of applause tonight. We love you, brother. Take your time, brother. Make yourself right. Grab yourself right.
Thank you, dear Pastor. Now, I checked this microphone, and it is red. Is it supposed to be red? Okay. Sometimes red means the battery's fixing to go dead. So just want to make sure we're right. If the Lord lets me live, I will be in the ministry this July 2024 for 30 years. I started rather young. I'm 51. I started rather young, but it marks 50 years for me in July that I started with the Lord in ministry. I have never in 30 years of being in ministry received cards in my mailbox like this church sent out cards. I believe it was the ladies' group, but I brought them with me. I'm carrying them in my Bible. I mean, pick a card, any card. Look at this. They just kept coming. And I have a long driveway, and I walked to the end of the driveway, and I'm reading these going down the driveway. And when I thought it was over, there's more come the next day. And then when I thought it was over, more, some were personal, very personal cards, had my name on them and created just for me. And the words were so kind. I'm just touched by that. Out of 30 years of being in the ministry, I don't think I've ever had that happen. But right here at Calvary Baptist Church. And I want to thank you ladies. And they might have been men involved, I don't know. But you ladies for being that kind to send out some encouragement. That just helped my heart. And been where I am now for 12 years, pastoring Pine Ridge Baptist Church in Fort Payne, Alabama. And we have a wonderful church, but I'm going to mention that to our ladies. You've started something in my heart, and because I knew how encouraging it was to me. So carry on. Makes me want to come back and preach a whole week's revival. I might get buttermilk pies the next time. Or apple pies. Y'all are some giving people. And the atmosphere, I love it. I appreciate the opportunity of being here. You've got some heavy hitters coming in. Brother David Smith is tremendous. Don't miss Dr. Smith. He's coming tomorrow night. Dr. Smith will be here tomorrow night. My son-in-law, Ivy's husband, is his associate. And he'll be here tomorrow. You've got Brother Michael Soup that's been pastoring for years from Lawrenceville, Georgia. Wonderful man of God. I don't really know what to say about Mark Stroud. Buckle up, Buttercup's all I can tell you. He come out from under Edgar Thomas, so you got to look out. He's on the way. And these are wonderful people. And I know you've already had a great Sunday. So you got to put up with me tonight. I'm nowhere in the league with these fellas. But I still am God's man. And he has selected me to be here tonight. And I don't take that lightly. I want you to turn to a very familiar scripture in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. And I want to read just three verses to you because you're so familiar with the story. Everybody's probably read the story of the prodigal son. And no doubt I've preached about the prodigal. I've preached about the daddy. I've preached about the elder son. I've preached it all. But in studying, the Holy Spirit of God kind of paused me in something that I had never seen. I've never seen this in the scripture, and I'm not one of those that tries to find things outside of the Bible or something that nobody else has ever found. You know, seems like that's the way it is now. You got to have something mysterious to preach it or you're no good. And I'm not that kind of guy. But I began to read this, and when I was reading, it was almost like the Holy Ghost paused me in between the verses. And I picked up on something. And I want to read it to you. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 11. And he said, of course, you know these verses. A certain man had two sons, and that is exactly how I read it. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. But then watch verse number 13. Here's where the Lord paused me and just kind of began to speak to my heart about something. Verse 13 says, and not many days after. So we know that there's some kind of pause, at least a few days, between verses 12 and 13. We know at least not many days after. Maybe there's 2 days. Maybe there's 3 days. Could have been as long as a week. But we know there's at least a few days in between verse 12 and verse 13. Now we know what happened. His daddy divided unto him his living. There's nothing wrong with that. That was a Jewish custom. And really there's nothing wrong with him taking a journey, because some men need to do that. And all God's men said amen. I like to run to the mountains every once in a while. So there's nothing wrong with taking a journey. The problem happened between verse number 12 and verse number 13. Something happened to this boy's mind. Now we don't know what it is. We don't know how it happened. We don't know what triggered. We don't know if he was laying in the bed and something happened. The Bible's not clear. We don't give any indication. The Holy Ghost did not put it in writing. But I was paused in between the two verses. The daddy dividing his living. And then the next verse says, not many days after. Something happened to this young man's mind. So I want to preach on this thought. The dangers of the mind. Everybody in this church has got somewhat of a mind. Some are more brilliant than others, and some are smarter than others. But everybody in here has logic, and everybody in here has the ability to think. And if the devil can destroy you, he will first start with, guess where? Your mind. It happens that way every time. I'm convinced that if we don't somehow change our mind, we might not see any jubilee at all this week. It might hinder our revival if we don't change our mind. I'm not talking about changing your doctrine. I'm not talking about changing your music. You got a good program going on. I'm not talking about changing your ways. I'm talking about an individual scooting closer to the Lord and taking self and pushing it away and giving God 100% of your heart and your mind this week. What if Brother Partain's here just to kind of prepare the way? And I'm okay with that. I battled in my heart. I've got revival messages. I've got some that can make you shout. I've got some that can make you cry. And as sitting in the living room floor today, the Spirit of God said to my heart, you're preaching on the mind. And I said, oh Lord, not tonight. I've never been there, Lord. This pastor's filling me out and seeing how I'm going to be, Lord. Why have I got to preach a message on the mind? I want to make them shout and happy and cry and come to the altar and praise the Lord. Could it be that Brother Partain's job here tonight is to prepare you and get you ready that you can really have a meeting starting tomorrow night? I'm convinced it must start in your mind. Amen. That mind can be very dangerous. It's a powerful force. I've learned that over the years. It can either empower you or it can absolutely enslave you. One man said it like this: it can take us to the heights of ecstasy, or our mind can plunge us into the depths of misery. You know what the scientific world calls it? And I think I might be one of these people. They call it when a person's like that, a psychosomatic. Now that's a big old fancy word. Psychosomatic. Before I give you the definition, I'm convinced I'm one of those. I'm that psychosomatic guy. You know what psychosomatic means? That mind has the ability to make you think something is happening when it ain't even happening. When I get a headache, it just must be an aneurysm. Is anybody else out there with me? When I have chest pain, it's got to be a heart attack. It can be nothing else, when most of the time it's just a little gas and I need Tums. Right? I see some women pointing. I'm glad I'm not the only psycho in the house. Amen? Psychosomatic. It's a symptom that a person can have. The ability to think yourself sick. I really believe I have that. I have thought myself sick on many occasions. I get it honest. My daddy's the same way. He thinks himself sick all the time. But it lets us know the power that this mind really has. And if my mind can tell me I'm sick, then my mind can play tricks on me spiritually. By the way, I was saved. I wanted to give my testimony a little while ago when Brother Justin got done. I was saved down the road in Dallas at White Oak Springs Baptist Church, 17 years old. I fell in the altar, asked Jesus to save me. I've not been the same since. He really saved me that day. He changed my life and He began a work in me. I was 17. That was 1989, I believe it was. All these 50s and 60 models over here, I can't touch that. But the Lord allowed me the privilege of calling me, and now I'm a preacher and preaching the gospel now for 30 years in ministry. And I'm grateful for that. But when I got saved in 1989 at White Oak Springs Baptist Church, my flesh did not get saved. I know that's hard for some to believe. This 200 and none of your business pounds didn't get in. It didn't get the glory. It didn't get saved. I carry it around all the time. I fight it every day. I have to look at it in the mirror. And I'm telling you, there is a power of the mind that if you're not careful, it'll hinder you spiritually this week and you won't see an ounce of jubilee. And we're preparing the way. These great preachers that are coming in, the dangers of that mind. I'm convinced something happened to that boy between verse number 12 and verse number 13. Not many days after, this boy went crazy. Maybe he sat in the bed and said, "I wonder, I've been hearing talk about that far country down there. I wonder what's really in it. I've heard talk that there's some parties going on down there. I've heard talk that maybe there's some drinking and some drugging and some things that adult themes that I have never been part of because my daddy has kept me from it. I would just wonder what's down there." And in those days, his mind, no doubt, began to play tricks with him. He had his daddy's inheritance. We're talking about a boy that ate with his daddy. We're talking about a boy that fellowshipped with his daddy. And he lived in his daddy's house. And he had his daddy's last name. Really, he had it made. But something happened between those verses. that caused his mind to change. It's the dangers of the mind. I don't know how you read the Bible, and I don't know how the Lord deals with you. I guess He deals with me in an elementary way because I understand it better. But when I got to that verse and I was reading it, and the Spirit of God paused me and in my heart impressed upon my heart that something happened to that boy's mind. I saw it. Something happened to this young boy's mind. And in my heart I was saying, I don't want you to think I'm crazy, but I was talking to the boy. I was reading and I was saying, no. Something's happening to you. I was talking to my Bible. I know, psycho, I'm right here. I was talking to my Bible, and I said, I know where you're headed. I read the rest of the story, young man. I know what's about to happen. What is happening to your mind? That's what I was saying to my own Bible. We know that He gathers all. We know the rest of the story. He had it all. He gathered it all. He wasted it all. He spent it all. Because his mind told him all that must have been out there. The dangers of the mind. That mind can take you places that you've never been. Did you know that no thought that you have is self-sustaining? And then let me explain that. What I mean by that is if you ever have a bad thought that passes through your mind, it cannot be sustained or kept in your mind unless it is fed. It's not self-sustaining. You have to entertain it or it will leave. But oh, at the times, this dangerous mind and things would come through my mind, and instead of discarding it like I should have done, I entertained the thought. And I kept going with the thought. And I fed the thought. Only to find out that my mind was heading for a wasteful place. Because the mind. It's the dangers of the mind. But a thought cannot survive on its own. It's not self-sustaining. So the mind, number one, let me give it to you like this. Must be harnessed. The word harnessed is something that we would probably do to an animal. We harness an animal. We would harness a horse to keep it under subjection. That's what I mean by that. The mind that you have, whether young or whether old, it must be harnessed. Or you're heading for trouble. Well, I can't control it, preacher. I can't control my mind. Well, if you can't control your mind, then it controls you. If a man is not able to harness his thoughts and harness his mind, then his mind controls him. Your mind responds to mental images, by the way. I'll give you one. McDonald's does this to me every year. It's called the McRib. Woo! I got one over here that's already been in it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I knew I'd get something out of y'all in a minute. The McRib. They only bring it out a little while, you know, once a year, and they'll tease you with it. And it never looks like what's on the billboard, but it really tastes good. They don't know what it's made out of, and it's all pressed, bunch of stuff pressed together. But I'm telling you, I love McRibs with extra onion and pickle. Whew. And they'll put that on them billboards, or they'll put it on the side of McDonald's, and that juice just a dripping out the sides, and them onions hanging out the side, and them pickles. It just does, that sesame seed hoagie bun, it does something to my heart. You know what's happening? My mind has grabbed a hold of that. And if I don't harness it, guess where I'm headed? That's exactly right. The doctor says, Carl, you need fruits and you need vegetables and you need to go on a diet But then my mind says, he's wrong. Look at that billboard. Look at that barbecue sauce. Look at them onions. Look at that patty. Look at all that you could have. And my mind, if I'm not careful, will completely take over my life. That's the power of the mind. Your mind responds to mental images. I have it happen at Burger King. I don't know why I talk about food all the time. I just love it. Oh, wait, I brought one of my... Hold on a minute. I brought one of my... I stopped and got this for the kids so I could have the bag. Here's another one of my weaknesses. Amen. Chili cheese flavored Fritos. Somebody say amen out there. Man alive, I found a new favorite. Chili cheese Fritos with buttermilk. Come on now, go home, see if I ain't telling you the truth. That's the best thing you've ever tasted. Crumble them bad boys up in that buttermilk, sprinkle you a little bit of pepper on that thing, and it's just wonderful. But this is a weakness of mine. And my doctor says, don't eat them, man. I thought they was just corn chips, but there's a whole paragraph what's in this thing, and nobody knows what it is. I really don't know what I'm eating. But there's a weakness. Brother Partain has. What are you using those illustrations for? I'm trying to show you just how powerful your mind is. And if it can control you with a bag of Fritos, then it must be able, if you're not careful and not full of the Holy Ghost, it can battle you spiritually and get you out of church quicker than anything. I sat in a chair. I've pastored two churches. I'm on my second one, 12 years. I pastored the first one, 5 years. First church I ever pastored. Rather large church. Big Christian school, 13,000 square foot Christian facility. I think one of our top days might have been 272. It bumped real close to 300. I know there's churches bigger than that. This is the biggest one I've ever pastored. Had a balcony. It was a tough church to pastor. I was young, didn't understand a lot of things. And things kind of got a little sideways. And I just knew that something was going on. And the devil reminded me that there was something going on. I got up there on that stage, sitting in my pastor's chair, had my Bible spread open, and I'm reading the Bible, and I'm thinking, boy, I'm fixing to get up there and preach, and I can't wait. Preach what I've studied. God's just built something in my heart. I can't wait to tell these wonderful people. And the devil said, they're talking about you. And there was two men about halfway back, and they were talking. And they were deacons. And you know what the devil said? The devil said, they're talking about you. And the more he said it, the more I believed it. And something started rising up in me and my mind took over. Anybody else out there like that? I mean, I just know I was watching them real close to see if I could watch their lips. Wasn't concentrating on what God given me. I was more worried about what they were talking about. And I kept leaning in and trying to see what they were saying. And I just know one of them said, Carl. I seen my name. I just know I seen my name come out of his lips. Devil done had my mind. And instead of getting up and preaching that wonderful, lovely message that the Lord gave me, I used the pulpit as a machine gun. And I went, and I mowed them all down for about 30 minutes. Because the devil, you know what they were talking about me. You know what they're talking about? Giving me a raise. They gave me a raise. And the devil said, they're getting rid of you, pal. This is it. You're going down. You're not going to survive. They're talking bad about you. And my mind believed every bit of it. That's the power of the mind. And if that mind is not harnessed somehow, some way, it will take your mind over and kill you spiritually. The mind must be harnessed. Then not only should the mind be harnessed, the mind at times has got to be hindered. Harnessed, but yet also you've got to hinder your mind. Here's what I mean by hinder: to create difficulties to damper its operation. To build obstacles to keep your mind at bay. That's what I mean by hindering your mind. If you don't learn how to stop your mind, it'll stop you. What is that verse? I might misquote it, and I hope I don't. I know it's in Romans. I think it's Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing. My goodness, it is in the Bible, isn't it? How am I going to change, Brother Carl? You've got to change by renewing your mind. The Spirit of God has spoke to us in Romans and said, I'll tell you how to fix this thing. You need to be transformed. And the way that you're transformed is by renewing your mind. Your mind's got to change. Your mind's got to change. And once you change your mind, there's no telling what God could do with you if you'll let Him have your mind. Hindered. I asked Eric Samples. He's a guy in my church. And he works for the power company. He's the guy that puts the telephone poles in. And I asked Eric, I said, Eric, about that verse. I said, transformed. I said, the Bible says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I said, those things on them poles, them white circular cylinders up there, I think they're called transformers. He said, that's correct. Transformers. I said, explain to me how that happens. What is that? Why is that there? And here's what he said. I wrote it down. Eric said, up on the lines, what's coming to your house is 7,200 amps. He said, if we allowed 7,200 amps to come inside your house, he said it would burn your house to the ground. He said, so we put transformers up there, and it takes that power that would burn your house to the ground, and it reduces it down to 240 amps. So all your wiring and all your electronics and all the things that are in your house can handle it. Boy, and when he said that, I thought to myself of the things out there in that world that if I don't have some kind of spiritual transformer, could burn my house to the ground. If I don't constantly, every day, contain my mind and crucify my flesh, nailing it to the cross, as Paul would say, every single day of my life, it will burn my spiritual house to the ground. You've got to learn how to hinder, transform the things that are coming in at you. This world is full of things that can change your mind. If your mind's left alone, it can take you places that you would to God you'd never been. I said this to my church yesterday, and it's still fresh on my mind. And I'm not going to call any names. I know we're alive, and if I read too much into it or talk in too much into it, there'll be people that know exactly what I'm talking about. I used to go way up in the North Carolina mountains and preach for a man. And this man had a beautiful wife and two beautiful daughters, and one was handicapped. And I went up into those mountains and would preach for him. He had a wonderful church. And wonderful people. Had a good thing going. And I'm telling you, they would shout the house down. It was an old country church, and I'm telling you, they worshiped with you. And it was tremendous. And it wasn't too much longer from those days that I had heard that he had left his church, he'd left his wife, he'd left his children, and found him another flame, and he's just went off with her and left everything behind. And it shattered my heart. Now listen, let's not get real spiritual about it, because us men are not exempt from sin and problems. I can't explain things to women because I've never been one. But I tell you this, I know how you men think, and I know how you are, and if you're not careful, you'll be just like this gentleman was if you don't learn to harness and hinder that mind. My wife would watch him on that Facebook, and he went off and started seeing this woman, and he completely changed. He didn't wear suits anymore, and he didn't wear the clothes like maybe that we would wear. He was going into places just worldly looking and going to bad places in the world and listening to things we would never listen to, and just like a different man that we didn't even know. He began to do things to his body to declare what lifestyle he was living. And our hearts was just, my wife loved this preaching. And we loved him and his family. And I'm telling you, it just fell to nothing. And he's off living this life just like, and it just carried on like nothing had happened. Put pictures on there of him and his new woman, and just everything was just going great. Just seemed like nothing was ever happening. And then I got that phone call. Hey, I'm talking about the dangers of your mind. It can happen to anybody in this building, and has happened to people greater than us. I was down at the end of my driveway blowing leaves, and my phone rang, and it was his now wife. And she said, "I know you don't know me, but my husband really wants to talk to you." And I wished, it's hard to explain, Brother Justin, the phone call and how he was doing. But when she handed that phone over to him, this was all I heard. And I'm going to try to illustrate it for you, but this was all I heard. "Oh, Brother Carl, Brother Carl. Oh, Brother Carl. Oh, Brother Carl, Brother Carl. Oh, Brother Carl." Constantly. 5 minutes, I know. He screamed my name, "Brother Carl, Brother Carl, Brother Carl, oh, Brother Carl." I said, "What's wrong? What's going on?" He said, "I don't know. I don't know. I think I'm dying. I think I'm dying. I think I'm dying. Where are you at? I'm in the hospital. My stomach's swelling. It's big. I don't know. I can't breathe good. Something's wrong. Brother Carl, please, please, please." Worst conversation I think I've ever heard, of a man screaming in pain and agony. And the next day, I get a phone call from South Georgia to let me know that this man, he said, "Have you heard about so-and-so?" I said, "Well, he called me yesterday," and he said, "Oh no, Brother Partain, he's dead. He's dead." And I just sat down. I just sat down in anguish. And I thought to myself, oh God. Oh God, that could be me. Oh God, that could be you. That could be anybody that's sitting in this church or listening by way of Facebook or YouTube. It could be us. It could be us. Nobody's exempt from that. We're all full of sin and flesh. How do we stop it, preacher? We've got to harness that mind. If you don't get a hold of your mind and change your mind and get your mind where it needs to be and stick it under the Word of God and get yourself under some good preaching and some good singing, it'll destroy you. That mind will destroy you. We've got to harness it. We've got to hinder it. If that mind's left alone, it'll take us places we don't want to go. I feel like sometimes I tell too many stories, but I did think about that. Let me just tell it, and I'll give you the last point, and we'll go home. Because it's on my mind. Those two families, and when you get home, Google it. You can find it. It's a true story in Egypt. And the two families shared a well. And the story says there was a mom and dad, 9 children, or could have been 10. A mom and dad over here, 9 or 10 children. They had the equal amount of people in their homes. And they shared a well that straddled the border of their properties. Shared a well. Family A, family B, one well. They come to that well, both families were watered. One day, true story, the well pump tore up. That's all that happened. It quit pumping water. And Daddy A said to Daddy B, I think you need to fix it. And Daddy B said to Daddy A, no, I think you need to fix it. And he said, well, you got more girls than I got, so I know you use more water than I have. No, I'm not fixing it. I fixed it the last time. You're fixing it. And would you believe, now this is in your history books, would you believe that it got so ugly that Daddy was against Daddy, Mama was against Mama, and all of those children on this side was mad at the children on this side? You say, well, that must have been pretty rough, preacher. Oh, it got worse. It wasn't long that it got so heated that bullets started flying. And people started dying. And the story tells you this. You're not going to believe it. But when that dust finally settled, 2 daddies lay dead, 2 mamas lay dead, and every single child on both sides lay dead. Over 20-something people died that day. Over a well pump that needed fixing. Now the story gets worse. You know what was wrong with the well pump? A fuse. A fuse in Egypt back then probably cost about 57 cents. And now over 20 people lay dead over a 57 cent fuse. Is anybody with me in the church house? Brother Justin, I've learned in my time of pastoring, some battles ain't worth fighting over. Some things ain't worth fighting over. Now, you're going to have to fight me over my King James Bible. You're not getting it. Amen. Period. Amen. You'll pry it out of my cold, dead hands. You're not prying me out of the virgin birth, and you're not prying me from the blood atonement. There's things I'm solid in. I've drove a stake up in because the Holy Ghost did, and I'm not moving from it. But there's some things that church people will fight over that absolutely ain't worth it. You know what you'll do? You'll spend your time trying to handle a 57-cent problem. whole church will come to the ground while you fighting over 57 cents. I don't know what I said that. It won't cost you any extra. Buy a CD from me. That'll make me feel better for that little extra nugget right there. But I'm telling you, I've seen that happen so many times to where churches come down over stuff that don't matter. Why is that, preacher? I'm going to tell you where it stemmed from. The power of that mind. And then the devil pushing it. And prying. And getting you to think things that probably ain't even really happening. And he can bring you down. The mind must be harnessed. The mind must be hindered. And then, whether you want to agree with it or not, your mind needs help. The mind must be helped. I know how you men are. I don't need any help. I've got it. That's how it is long about Christmas time at my house. When I have to put something together and I don't use the instruction book. I know, I get the same feeling. I don't like that man in my car telling me where to turn and where to stop and take this left and take that right. I don't like that. I know where I'm going. I know where Calvary Baptist Church is at. I used to eat at the Dairy Queen over there. But I tell you, if that GPS wouldn't have guided me here, I didn't even recognize Powder Springs anymore. I don't remember it like this. Matter of fact, this road carried on. There wasn't no turning and red lights and stuff over yonder. I don't remember all that. Something's happened to this place. It's exploded. But I don't like to be told what to do and where to go. And I can put together a bicycle by myself. I mean, my goodness, that's easy. It's funny how I always have parts left over, though. I just tell my wife, honey, they sent extra parts. That's just for extra stuff. But I'm telling you, if you're going to learn anything of God, if you're going to see Jubilee, if you're going to feel the Spirit of God, if you're going to have revival, you've got to have some help with that mind. You need help. That mind needs help with protection. You can't do this alone. I like what Philippians said about that he would keep your heart and your mind. Christ Jesus would keep your heart and he'd keep your mind. That word keep in the King James, it means to stand guard at the gate. We got to have help. We've got to have the sweet Spirit of God standing guard at the gate of our mind. Because when he's removed, the devil has free access to your mind. You see, I'm done, but I want to say this. Revival might not come in your 5-day jubilee. Might not come. A revival might not come from a Sunday morning from 11 to 12 or 12:30 and then we get out. Revival might not come from coming back on Sunday night if you do that, or come back on Wednesday night or whatever you might do here, your formality. Revival might not come. Revival might not come from our props. Revival might not come from our propaganda. Revival might not come from our promotions. Revival might not come from certain preachers. Now, he's got a lineup coming in here that's tremendous. But revival might not come through those men. What if revival comes? Me and David almost had revival standing right here. You know what he said to me? In tears, we were having a conversation up here. He said, that's the first song that my daddy ever asked me to play for him. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And he said, when you sang it, it just took him back to the days of being with his daddy. You listen to this preacher. It might not come through your greatest evangelist. It might not come through your church window of when we meet on Sunday mornings and when we meet on Sunday nights. It might not come through these evangelists. It might not come through talents. It might not come through the techniques that we might have. But revival strength comes from a person that's willing to change their minds. Watch this. Millie, come here, baby. Come to Pappy. Come on. Watch this. I'll just use her while she's here. One of the largest churches I ever sang in, had the privilege of singing in, was Dr. Larry Brown, North Augusta. There was 3,500 people there that Sunday morning. That boy you saw singing with me was about this age, or maybe a little bit older. And I was singing solo, but every once in a while I'd call on them to sing. And I'm up there singing a song. Standing right here with Pappy. You're a little bit heavier than I remember. Oh my God. I was standing on stage. And Dr. Brown, you'd had to know him. He come to me, he said, I want you to sing 3 songs or 15 minutes, whichever comes first. I said, okay. I was on about my 2nd song. And I was under my 15 minutes. And while I'm finishing my 2nd song, the Spirit of God is dealing with my heart about what to sing next. And I said in my heart, no. You know why? It required getting the kids up on stage. And they were sitting in a 3,500 seat auditorium on the back row. Step up here with me. So everybody can see how pretty you are. And in my heart I was saying no, but the Lord said, do what I say. And I said, Brother Larry, I hope this don't bother you, but I want the kids to come. Oh my. It was horrible. They were barely walking down the aisle. Some were stopping and shaking hands and politicking on the way. Some was waving. It seemed like it took ages for them to get up to the stage. Some of them were real little, and they finally got to the stage, and they're crawling, cat crawling up on the stage. I'm embarrassed. I look at Dr. Brown. He's going. And I thought, well, this will be the last time I'll be here. Finally got all the kids in line. Finally got all the mics in their hands. And I said, all right, we're going to sing this song. And Dr. Brown went, wait a minute! And I thought, uh-oh, I made a mistake. This is it. Because you know, Dakota, you know, Dr. Brown was in control. He's kind of like your granddaddy, Brother Ken Martin. Yes, sir. What he says goes, you know. Dr. Brown done stood up and he said, wait a minute. And here's what he done. Millie, you stand right there. He ran across that big stage and he laid over the pulpit and he said, church! Church! Did you just see what happened? That's what he said. Church! Did you just see what happened? And this is all he said after that. Their daddy called them and they came. Some of them had a hard time getting there. And some of them walked slow and others walked fast. And some didn't know what to do. But they knew that daddy called their name. And they heeded to his voice. Did you see Millie? Millie's coming back from the bathroom now. And I said, Millie, come up here with Pappy. And she heard my voice. And she heeded. What did she do? And she heeded to the call. Y'all see my point? You see the point? What if God says to you tonight, I want you to change, and He calls you by name? Are you going to listen to Daddy? Something in your life, and it's got a hold of your mind. Finances, children in trouble, companion problems, marital issues. You're mad at somebody. And you've got to change your mind about it because it's absolutely killing you. You couldn't spiritually enjoy nothing tonight because something's got your mind. And Daddy's saying, hey, come join me. Come up here with me. Come to these altars and let me hug you a while. Come over here and let me help your mind. Because if you don't get a hold of your mind, you might not see Jubilee the rest of the week. You can go sit down, baby. Go that way. You'll destroy that camera. Go that way. They that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We know the verses. Mount up with wings, eagles. Run not, be weary, walk not, faint. They that wait. You know what Baptists think waiting means? Just sitting on our blessed assurance. Not doing nothing. Waiting on the Lord. What are we doing here, preacher? Oh, we're just waiting. Just waiting on the Lord. You know what that word really means in its context? The word wait means to serve. It's literally what the word wait means in that verse. Wait means to serve. I go sit down at a restaurant, and I sit at that table, and here comes a wow, you got it. Here comes a waiter. He's coming to wait my table. He's coming to serve me. That's the word. They that wait, that's a server. And look who we're doing it to. This is another message, and I know I got to stop. But they that wait. On who? Oh my. You mean he's come into my restaurant? He's sitting at my table, and I'm the waiter. Now, how are you doing with your table? Is it dirty? Does his glass need filling up? Does he need more ice? Did you bring his meal out cold? Is his steak undercooked? Is his chicken still raw? Did you give him Thousand Island, he eats ranch? Did you forget his dietary needs? Do you see my point? You're to serve the Lord. And serving the Lord and waiting on the Lord means that you get busy for God. It's not wait around here till we die and wait around here and let all the young people do it. No, it's getting busy for God and a church that's on fire for God and renewing their minds and waiting on people. Oh my goodness, waiting on people. I wish I could come back. Y'all want me? I'll call up Brother David and tell him not to come. I'm preaching tomorrow night. I've got so much liberty here tonight, I could preach for another hour. Yeah, I'm on Alabama time. That's right. Hey, look here. Where's my cards? Oh, here's waiting on the Lord right here. Look at all that waiting. Look at all that waiting. Look. They just kept coming. And you know, those cards probably ain't free. Unless y'all stole them somewhere at the Dollar General. Stamps are, I don't know, 50 plus cent now. I don't know. But they're pretty, 70, how many? They're 75 cents now? You mean I've been paying that and don't even know it? Look at that. I bet there's 20 there. When you do it to the least, of these, you do it unto me. You know what you done, ladies? You waited on the Lord. Oh, no, we send that to Brother Partain. No, 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 no. It goes further than that. You waited on the Lord. You waited on the Lord. We've got to get busy. Our churches depend on it. Our churches depend on it. Our youngins depend on it. Our great, some of you sitting right here tonight, you've got children that are out of God's will. You got grandbabies that could care less about coming to church and serving the God that you serve. That ought to put you on your knees. That ought to burden your heart to the point of coming down to these altars and begging God to change your babies and change your mind and change your life. We can't just give up and let them go to hell. We've got to keep fighting, and we've got to keep going, and we've got to keep moving, and we've got to keep telling people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no room to get off of this thing. Dangers of the mind. Even now, your mind is saying, I wouldn't go down there. He's not talking to me. And your mind will tell you all kind of things about how you don't need to get right with the Lord. But they ain't a person in here probably don't need to step up to the plate a little bit further. Amen. We've got to change the dangers that can happen in that mind. That's the message tonight. You want Brother David to come? Brother David's coming. And I'm sure we're going to sing an invitation song, and I know I'm not supposed to take over and stuff like that. I just felt like we need to keep it solemn. And Brother David just play for us. And there might be some folk out there that need to come pray and ask God. I heard Dr. Gibbs say it like this. He said, have you ever asked God to save your mind? Save your mind. Save your mind? He was talking about when we get saved, God saves our soul, you know. He said, when's the last time after you got saved, you come to an altar and said, Lord, would you rescue my mind? Save my mind? Cleanse my mind? Because listen, if it ain't right with God this way, between me and you, it's not going to be right with God that way. If me and him can't get along, me and him's got a problem. Here's how the Bible says it. Clean hands, pure heart. Psalms. Clean hands with man, pure heart with God. But when you don't have clean hands with man, when the left is mad at the right and family A is mad at family B over a 57-cent problem, you'll never see revival. They'll have revival all around you and you'll never see it. Because your mind and your heart is not where it needs to be. We ought to spend some time in the altars tonight, young and old. You say, well, I can't kneel anymore, preacher. Then come down here and sit right here on this front bench and ask God to help you. Show him you mean business tonight if you want to see Jubilee this week. That's the message. Brother, you come.